Let's open our Bibles, please, to the Gospel of John again, in chapter 4. John's Gospel, chapter 4. Now, I know that this is a very familiar portion of the Scriptures, but we're going to take our time to read parts of it, starting at verse number 4. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us of the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Down the chapter, verse 20, this is the woman speaking. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and said to the men, Come, see a man, which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city, and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Now, I trust that God will bless what we've read of his word together. I know that's a lot of reading, but you can't deny it. That's one of the loveliest stories in this Gospel of John. There's just something about it that you can almost picture it, can't you? You can almost see it happening. And it's so like the Lord Jesus, just the way he dealt with this woman. But I would just like to use this in application, because what I want to speak to you about today is about coming to the meeting place. Because that's often what the well was in any given town or city. It was the meeting place. And if you doubt that, you need to get right back to the first book in our Bible, Young men, where did Moses meet his wife? Got it, at a well. He's not the only one. Where did Isaac meet his wife? At a well. Jacob, at a well. Good spot, isn't it? Come to the meeting place. Lovely place to meet the Lord's people. Lovely place to meet the Lord's people. But you know, there's two women that stand out in my mind, one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. And they met a man at a well that changed their lives. Most unlikely of women, both of them. You remember that Egyptian slave that ran away from her mistress, Sarah? And she met the Lord at a well, Genesis 16. And a few years later, she's actually sent away by her mistress. And she meets the Lord again, chapter 20, I believe it is, at the well. Wonderful if you come to the meeting place. Not just to meet the Lord's people. It's wonderful. The Lord's people are the best people. They're the salt of the earth. They're the best people in the world. Believe me. You want the Lord's people on your side. They're lovely people. But better than that, if you come to the meeting place to meet the Lord. And this woman in the New Testament, the most unlikely of candidates, she was going through men like that. And yet she met the man. The man, Christ Jesus, that changed her life. And she met him at a well. Now, right at the start of this, this is a woman that, by her own admission and by the Lord's remarks to her, there are things she did not know. So what I'm just going to go through at the opening of this meeting is I want to look at what she knew and what she didn't know. And what you know and I know and what we don't know when we come to the meeting place. First of all, do you come? Is it the habit of your life? Is it unthinkable in your thinking? Is it unthinkable not to come? Do you ever have to ask yourself, am I going to the meeting place? I'll keep it safe now. Am I going to the meeting place tonight? I tried to give you a little shot yesterday about coming to the prayer meeting. Now I'm talking about all the meetings. Am I going to the meeting? Is that ever a question? Let me get a little deeper now. Is it ever a question in your children's minds? I can say this honestly, and my brother is here. I can never remember any of us siblings ever asking our mom or dad, are we going to meeting tonight? It just was never asked. If there was a meeting, we were going. My dad is in heaven, but I can honestly tell you he lived for the assembly of God and for God's people. And he left a good example for me to follow. Are you going to the meeting? This woman came. Oh, you say, well, now you're really far off subject. No, wait now. She knew that's where you get refreshment, because she came with her water pot to get something. Is that why you come to the meeting place? Do you understand this is the place where we refresh our souls? It's a wonderful thing to come for refreshment. She did know that. She knew that if I go to the well, I'm not just going for the sake of going. That would be absolutely ridiculous, wouldn't it? Nobody just goes to a well to check out the well. Nobody should go to the meeting to check out the meeting. Not the meeting place. No, that's not what it's about. Nobody should just go to the well because, you know, that's the thing people do in this town. We go to the well. How ridiculous. She knew this. I need to go to the well. Because that's where I'll get the water. That's where I'll get refreshment. Would to God he'd imprint that on our brains. And then take it from our brains and imprint it on our hearts. That's what it's about, brethren. That's really what it's about. That's not all it's about. But that is what it's about. She did know that. But what she didn't know, that you do know, is that the Lord was there. She did not know when she left that day to go to the well that he must needs go through Samaria, that he planned to meet her there. Young people, listen to me. I know I'm grandfather now, okay? I'm an old guy. Just listen to me. There's someone at the meeting place that wants to meet you. He has beforehand determined to be there because he wants to meet you. He wants to meet you there. Now, that's not application. That is the truth of it. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. Purposely, on purpose, predestined, planned out ahead of time, knowing every single person that he wants to be there, he wants to meet you there. And the Savior in this case came, not by accident, but on purpose, even though his disciples didn't know it. He came because he wanted to meet her there. That's a lovely thing. Now, she didn't know that. I hope you know it. Thomas didn't know it. That's why he wasn't there. Gets worse. When they told him, he didn't believe it. But it gets better. Because the next week, he was there. And it gets better. He wasn't disappointed because the Lord knew. And the Lord planned to meet Thomas there the next weekend and just kind of ignored the rest and walks right up to Thomas and he says, Thomas, I'm glad you're here. Reach hither your hand. You would think the Lord was listening to the whole thing. Well, he was. He was. And if you think that's just a one-off thing, you better think again, because he longs to meet you at the meeting place. She came. She didn't know. She didn't know he was there, but you do. Now, is that why you come? Do you ever ask yourself, why am I going tonight? I do. Believe me, some of those meetings I just scratch my head and say, really? I never knew that's what Ephesians was about. That was off the wall tonight. Where did they ever get that? What are they? But that's not what it's all about. Oh, yes, it is for teaching. But even if the teaching isn't there, the Lord is. And even if some of the brethren aren't there, the Lord is. And even if somebody else can't make it, the Lord can make it. And that's why I go. And I do sometimes need to remind myself. And so do you. And I'm trying to help you remember this. That's why we go. Now, that's not why she came. She didn't know that. But we do know. Don't forget it. That's why we gather together. That's why we meet. This would just be an empty, silly religious place that isn't even as good as some of the other religious places. We don't even have stained glass windows, for crying out loud. We don't measure up. But we go far above that. Because it's not the building. It's the person who's in our midst. That's why we come. Don't forget it. She did know this was the place to come for refreshment. Good for her. That's why she brought her water pot. Do you? Do you bring your empty water pot? More about this later. But right now we're going to look at the empty water pot. Because when she brought an empty water pot, she expected before she left there to leave with it full. Wouldn't it be a different meeting? Come on. Wouldn't it be a different prayer meeting if you came expecting to go home full? Sure it would. You know, a lot of times, a lot of things are in our heads. And it really is. We perceive things by the very attitude we come with. And if you come expecting to be fulfilled, it will be a prophecy that will be fulfilled. You know that. It's almost like self-fulfilling. If you come looking to fill your water pot, you'll go home full. If you say before you come, no sense bringing the water pot, nothing there. Guess what? You'll go home with nothing. Guaranteed. You'll go home with nothing. She came with her water pot. And she probably never even thought of it. But she was thinking, I'm going to go home full. She had a lovely attitude to come to the meeting with. I'm going to go home full. Again, more on that later. But she didn't, even when she saw the Lord there, she didn't realize that he would be weary. That he would be weary. Do you ever think that the Lord is weary? Oh, you say, no, that was just while he was here on earth. Think it through now. Why was he weary with his journey? You say, well, it was a long walk. No, I don't think so. You can go on a long walk and not get weary. But did you ever go on a long walk when everything you saw and everything you heard got you down? You saw things you wish you never saw. You heard words you just wish you never heard. And everyone around you acted in an ugly, ungodly way. That's what it was like for the Lord Jesus. Let us never forget. While he walked here as a real man, all the while he was the Holy Son of God. He heard the same curse words and swear words that you hear. And we get used to them. He never got used to them. Never. He saw the same bad behavior. And we just say, oh, that's the world. He never said it. That's the world. This is what he created. And he created it for something far better than what he was seeing. And it wore on his soul. And he's weary with his journey, tired from walking, tired from seeing, tired from hearing, weary with the whole thing. Just stop for a minute now. As our Lord looks at this world today, come on, as you look at it, doesn't it make you weary sometimes? With all its sin, and all its ungodliness, and all its vileness and filthiness,
As the Lord looks down from heaven, as the psalmist says, he finds there's none that doeth good, no, not one. Don't you think that weighs heavy and wearying upon his heart? Then he looks and he sees a little gathering of believers that leave all that on the outside, that have been forgiven, whose lives have been changed. There's no cursing and bitterness and swearing. The ungodliness has been put away, and they gather together. And the Lord says, I'm going to meet with them so that my soul can be refreshed. Now, let's get back to the water pot. Have you brought anything to refresh the heart of the Savior with? Because remember what he said to her? Give me to drink. Give me to drink. Let me speak to the young men here. If the Savior were to say to you, give me to drink, do you have anything to give him to drink with? Did you bring anything to the meeting place? Did you take time ahead of time to get your water pot and to have something to give to the Savior? Oh, you say, well, how would I? You know, we only do that on Sunday morning. Think again. Think again. You remember, it's this same Lord Jesus that the disciples asked that question. Well, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or naked? He said, in that ye have done it unto the least of one of these, ye have done it unto me. How do you refresh the heart of the Savior? By refreshing his people. Have you brought anything to the meeting to refresh the Lord's people? Because if you refresh them, you're refreshing the heart of the Savior. Ye have done it unto me. She came. She brought her water pot. And she heard the Savior say, give me to drink. I hope when you come to the meeting, you bring something to refresh the Lord's people. We've already heard about people coming to the meeting with their stones. Leave the stones home. Bring your water pot. This woman knew enough to bring her water pot. And she looked at the Savior. Now, can you imagine this? And she said, you have nothing to draw with. Can you even imagine saying that to the Lord? You have nothing to draw. You couldn't give me anything. That's what she's saying to him. Because remember, he said to her, you know this story. He said to her, if you knew who it was that said unto thee, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. And she turns around and rebuts that with this. You have nothing to draw with. Oh, never limit the Savior. Nothing to draw with. Never come to a meeting thinking he can't refresh you. No matter how down you are. No matter how bad the circumstances. No matter how much your head aches or your sore toe hurts, come. Never limit the Savior. He's able to meet your needs. Underline these words of Hebrews 7. He is able in every circumstance, under every different type of situation. He is able. There is nothing he is not able of. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. He's able. Now let's look at that water pot again now. I don't know how big it was. Do you? This isn't John chapter 2. This is John chapter 4. John chapter 2, we're told approximately how big they were. 2 or 3 firkins, whatever a firkin is. But that's a measurement. So they at least had a measurement, 2 or 3 firkins apiece. But how big was her water pot? I don't know. But learn this lesson from John 2. When the Savior said, fill it, they didn't just splash some water in it. Say, that's enough. That's good enough. You know what they did? Right to the brim. Right to the brim. He didn't say, fill it to the brim. He just said, fill them and bring them back to me. And for my analogy today, they were thinking this. This is the Savior. Let's give him everything. He deserves it to be filled to the brim. We're bringing this to the Savior. We are not going to limit him in any way. We are going to fill this water pot right to the brim. Young men, can I tell you again? When you come to the meeting, there's people that need to be refreshed. Don't be stingy. Don't be lazy. Fill it to the brim. It's for the Lord. And the Lord took what they filled to the brim and distributed it to the people. They were all amazed. Not at the people filling it to the brim, but at the Lord. That's what it's all about. To honor him. They filled him to the brim. Let's look at this capacity thing. We don't know the capacity of her water pot. I don't know your capacity. The Lord does. He gave it to you. He knows the capacity of every believer here, of every sister, of every brother. He knows what you are capable of. Now, could he say this of you? Listen now, could he say this of you? She hath done what she could. He did what he could. I know his capacity. He filled it. He never said of Mary, she did what she couldn't. God never expects you to do what you can't do. He never asked you to do what you can't do. You're never judged by what you didn't do, what you could do. And he knows what you could do. And he knows what you're capable of. Now, are you delivering? Is it to the brim? You doing what you could? When you come to the meeting place? That has to do with capacity. How much are you really putting into it? Now, there's one thing about capacity that Hebrews tells us. You might start off with just a little bit of milk in there. But by reason of use, you develop your capacity. God doesn't expect after 10 years for you to still have the same capacity. And he doesn't buy this. Oh, you know, that's just me. No, that doesn't fly with him. Because when he gave you that capacity, yeah, some of you young people won't know what I'm talking about when I talk about film. Cameras used to have film in it, and you kind of wound it to the next thing. But the film was empty. And then when you took the picture, you still didn't have a picture. It wasn't instant. You know what you had to do? You had to develop it. God has given you a capacity that he expects you to develop. And he expects, by reason of use, use the capacity God has given you and he'll enlarge your capacity. It stretches. The more you use it, the bigger it gets, the better it gets. He expects that capacity to be developed by reason of use. Now let me ask you again, are you using it? Or do you look around and you say, well, you know, I'm not a Mr. So-and-so, so I can't do anything here. Or I can't do what she can do, so no sense me doing anything. Doesn't work that way. God doesn't expect you to do what he's doing. Do you know there's not a preacher on this platform named Mr. Paisley anymore? Because God took Mr. Paisley to heaven. And even though my name starts with P, he never expects me to be a Paisley. I'm not a Paisley. I'm just a Procopio. But God expects Procopio to expand and to do better and to give him more and to use what he's given me. And that's what he expects of you, my brother, and you, my sister. Don't try to be somebody else. That's hypocritical. Don't try to be what you're not. Don't try to be above your capacity. That's not what it's about. You be you in the sight of God. And you be the best that we heard yesterday. If God has given you the capacity to sweep the floor, then you be the best floor sweeper. Fill it to the capacity. Do it to the best of your ability. And you'll refresh the heart of the Savior. But you notice the Savior said, give me to drink. To me. He didn't say, now, wait, the disciples are coming back now. And we'll put on a little show for the disciples here. You show the disciples how much you can do. Now you hold on. Because that happens. It is never about show. If God has given you a capacity, it's never to show your capacity. It's for the Lord. And if he's given you a larger capacity, it's for the Lord. You hate a show-off. You can smell it a mile away. You wouldn't drink of that water, would you? Someone did, if you know what they were doing and their big basket full of stuff was all about show, you'd walk right by and say, I don't want any. They ruined it. Even though there might be good stuff in there, they ruined it because of the show. It's not about show. This is not show and tell. This is about serving the Savior, serving the Lord. And if he has given you a capacity, you use that for him. Remember, those are the eyes of flaming fire. Those are the discerning, refining eyes. You can't fool him. You might fool the brethren, but you can't fool him. And this is for him. So honestly, from the integrity of your heart, you give him the best. He deserves it, filled to the brim. Quickly now. Something missing in this chapter? Did you ever notice there's something missing? I noticed there's something missing. She never gave him a drink. She never lowered her water pot into the well. Read it carefully. She never did it. She actually set her empty water pot down and went away. But yet when the disciples came, listen to this now. They said, did someone give them to eat? Why would they say that? Come on. Suffer my sanctified imagination a little bit. I think the Savior was literally glowing. Glowing. Listen to what he said. I didn't get a drink. I had meat to eat that ye know not of. This woman allowed me to do a work in her soul. I thrilled to do my Father's will. I came to seek and to save that which is lost. I came to work in the hearts and souls of men and women. And this woman allowed me to do my Father's work. He allowed me to do what I love to do. You allow the Savior to do what he loves to do in your soul? Do you allow him to work in your soul? Or is there a resistance? My time's almost up. I was going to talk to you a little bit about worship. Let me just say this about worship. Some say that the Lord is going around looking for worshipers. I don't believe that. Caveat here. I don't believe that. He is not egotistical. Let me say it that way. That would be wrong. There's a key word you're missing. The Father seeketh such, this kind, to worship.
What kind? Those that are honest. Those that worship in truth, no sham, no show.
Those that worship in spirit and in truth.
If men are going to worship, that's the way it has to be done. That's what pleases the Father. This woman goes, and let me close with it. She leaves her water pot. She leaves a Savior satisfied, not filled with water now, not with a drink from the well, but satisfied. And the disciples marveled that he even spake with her. And she goes off in service for her Lord. He has revealed himself to her. She knows him now. She has trusted him. And she says, come see a man. Come see a man that told me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And she brought others to Christ. That's the order. The old preachers used to say it. The other fellow with his name beginning with P used to teach us this. Worship before service. She refreshed the heart of the Savior. And then she brings others to the Savior. How good is that? If you enjoyed the meeting place and came to refresh the Savior at the meeting place, then serve him and serve him in truth. God bless his word.